All right. Well, good morning. Glad that you're all here. We are continuing on in our message series called Ephesians. This is a letter that is written to not just one church, but a group of churches in this area called Ephesus. Go look it up. You'll find out where they all are. But it's interesting that someone is going to write a letter that's going to circulate to a variety of churches, and there's more going on in this letter than just what the church needs to do. There's actually a big plan overall, because there are different groups of people that are gathered in these churches, and they're coming together because of this person, Jesus. And now, what does that look like for them to unpack? And that's what we've been doing here at Real Life Church. We started this last week. Mark Willock gave a message, his reflections, his sermon on what it looks like from Ephesians chapter 1, that all of us are included into God's plan from the beginning, very beginning. We are all included. You and I are included in God's big plan. And what does that look like for us as we try to live that out? And we, as a church, we've been reading this together. You're invited to read along with us each week as we go through the letter to Ephesians. There's six chapters. There's going to be six reflection messages like this one here today. And you get to do your own reading and reflection on it. If you are connected with our church app, in there's notes. And in the notes, you can find today's date, and you can open up the notes for that. And at the bottom, there's a link to the scripture that we're reading, as well as the questions that we're going to go through each and every week, and you can continue to do that. We encourage you to join us in reading this together, because that's what the letter was intended for. A variety of churches all reading the same letter together, and then learning how to live into it. And so with Ephesians chapter 2, which is where we're going to be today, I want to give you kind of an image to work with in your mind, okay, of what he's going to start addressing. The guy that wrote this, his name is Paul, and he's a very Jewish person. He grew up in Jewish culture. He was educated in the Jewish law. He was on his way as a career as a professional Jewish scholar, religious guy called a Pharisee, right? So he's all about this, but yet these churches that he's writing to are not part of that. They're different than them. There's two different people groups that we're talking about here. There's the Jewish people, and then there's, well, everybody else, right? Everybody else, and they get different names. Sometimes they're just called the nations. Sometimes they're called the Gentiles. Sometimes they're called, and in this letter you're going to see it, the uncircumcised. That is a weird thing to call somebody, right? But in their day, as they would gather around the places of commerce, a lot of things, governmental things and high-up commerce type of things would happen in these Roman bathhouses where men would be completely naked. Well, if you know anything about circumcision, you can tell whose is and who isn't, right? Okay, but the image that I want to give to you is the backgrounds. The backgrounds that you have, a variety of backgrounds that are coming together under this belief in Jesus and trying to work that out. In fact, in this place here and watching online, you come from different backgrounds, different upbringings. Maybe you came from a place where you had money in your family. Maybe you came from a place where you didn't have money in your family. Maybe you came from a place where you were very connected, very healthy family setting. Maybe you came from a home where, you know, the kids were actually more apparent than the parents were, right? A variety of upbringings. And that gives it, even for my own marriage with Amanda, we come from completely different backgrounds. Amanda grew up in the same house her whole life. She moved when she went to college. Me, I bounced around everywhere, started a new school here. Somebody asked me, well, where'd you grow up? I said, name a year, and I'll tell you where I was, right? So bounced around to different places. She grew up in a family that was very connected. They did a lot of things together. They communicated well together. I came from a family that's very disconnected. My brother lived in one place, my dad was in another, and I was in another place. And even in the household, there was a disconnect. That fueled a lot of independence for me. You know, I had a lot of freedom to just do what I wanted to do and be free to that. And then I bring that into the marriage background, and Amanda's very connected, and I'm very independent, right? And you can see that even from that can cause some tension, right? And it has, even I dare say, some hostility, especially around the bedtime routine. For Amanda, it's very important for her to let me know that she's going to go to bed now, and then tell me again that she's on her way to bed, and then tell me once more that she's in bed, and then one more time, good night, right? And for me, I'm like, okay, all right, yeah, good, fine, go to sleep. Right, like I don't need another thing. And then for me, on my aspect of it, I just go to bed and fall asleep. And she's like, I didn't know where you were. I'm like, what do you, Google, need to know where I am all the time? Leave me alone, right? Give me some space. But here's the thing. As we enter into that relationship together, we can allow that tension to drive a wedge in between us and keep separated and have hostility. Or what I've learned is, what does it mean for Amanda that we say goodnight? Right? There's something in our relationship that, because of my relationship with Jesus, I'm willing to go, maybe I need to be a little bit different. What can I learn from Amanda in the way of saying goodnight? And for her, just saying goodnight, Amanda, makes her feel loved and connected. So sometimes I will head up to bed and I'll just be in bed, and then I'll remember, oh, I have to say goodnight. And I will send her a text even, goodnight, Amanda. And then, of course, a little lovey eyes and everything, and she loves it. It's good. Even that is good enough. But the point is, how do we remove the hostility? What is the thing that's connecting us and making us one, right? Not uniformed and like where I start being Amanda, but we become something new, a new people, a new group. And it's because of this focus on Jesus that I want to be more like him, and how can I adapt to being connected with Amanda, right? That imagery is exactly what Paul is talking about here. These two different groups of people, the Jewish people and the Gentiles, the circumcised and the uncircumcised, they have some hostility and some tension as they live among each other. And it really is a problem from the Jewish standpoint. They have been entrusted with a partnership, a covenant, if you will, with God, their God. They are going to be his people. And to be his people, they are going to carry this message about what it is like to be in God's family, in this covenant, in this partnership with God, and how to live that and bring that to all the nations, all the Gentiles, to you, to me. We get to experience that. The fact that we're here now is built upon that. But something changed, because the Jewish people, what they ended up doing is cutting themselves off and isolating themselves from the rest of the people, the rest of the nations, the Gentiles, right? They had certain things that they did in their cultural upbringing that they used to drive a wedge in between the two, and they became more and more isolated. Their religious practices of having one day of a worship and not doing any work, well, that was very counter to the culture that they lived in. You worked every single day, right? That was what you did, and now you look like lazy people because you're not working on this day. They had certain religious practices, like circumcision, that was a physical marker on their bodies that showed that they were different from everyone else. And instead of that difference being something to invite people into understanding a bigger covenant, a bigger connectedness with God, it isolated them away. It drove other people to feel like they did not belong. They were not part of this. They were separated not only from this group of people, but from God. They were considered to be far away from God, not knowing God, and that they had no hope. That's not what God intended for that to happen. In fact, the Jewish people were ones to take this message about bringing people into God's family, his kingdom, and that all people were to be a part of that, and that was their job. Instead, it worked the other way. Now, Paul is going to be writing about how these Gentiles were once that way. They were separated. They were far away from God. They had no God and no hope. And I think that's one of our connecting pieces in our day. We can feel that way. If you take now, instead of the Jewish people, you take the church. You put the church in that place. And they can get, we can get so closed off that as people are curious about who Jesus is, so the way in which we go about things can actually isolate ourselves. And maybe some of you have experienced that. You've experienced a place where you felt very much the outsider, that they made you feel like you are far from God, and it left you feeling like there is just no hope for you. That's, in fact, being here or watching online takes an act of God to even be here because of what has been happened to you. As these Jesus followers were supposed to bring about who Jesus is, and yet they made you feel far away from God. Or maybe just in life, because of your upbringing, because of where you came from, you feel like, oh, I'm not good enough to be able to be in a relationship with God. God doesn't think that I could be a part of God's family. I'm this outsider looking in. You've been made to feel like that, and that leaves you with no hope. And Paul, the writer of this letter that circulates to all these churches, he wants to let us know that actually it's Jesus that has done something for all of us to remove that hostility, and we get to be a new people as we come together and learn how to live with one another as Jesus as this main focus and our trust in him. A new group of people. It's an amazing thing that happens. So he's going to start in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. We can turn there now if you want to. And we're going to walk through some of this, and you're going to hear some of these things here of how there's this separation, but yet through Jesus, it actually brings us closer. Okay, so here's what it looks like. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 11. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. It was just something on the outside that drove a wedge between people. Verse 12. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. You see that the problem is that they didn't know some of these covenant promises. Well, whose fault is that? The Jewish people that have separated themselves off and isolated themselves instead of bringing that blessing and that covenant to other people. Nope, we're going to focus on this thing that drives a wedge in between us, and they become separated from God. They're not included. They're outsiders, right? They get called this derogatory name, you uncircumcised heathen. That's not a positive name you want to be carrying around, right? And talking about. I mean, it just drives a wedge in between each other. But that's not where it ends. Okay, there's a change that happens, and he's going to talk about that here in verse 13. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to God through the blood of Christ. Now, the blood language, I know it's kind of weird, but in covenants, there is usually some kind of blood thing that was connected with it. So it's about being brought into this new covenant through Jesus. Jesus has done something to make this covenant to extend to all people, which is what God intended to do from the very beginning. We looked at that last week from Mark Willock. Verse 14, for Christ himself has brought peace to us, not hostility, but peace. He got peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. You can see that there was definitely a wall of hostility. You're different than I am. You don't believe the things that I do. You don't have the upbringing that I have. You don't have all these cultural practices that we are practicing. You are definitely on the outside. It's caused hostility. And Jesus, through his sacrifice, his death, broke that down. It's supremely important what Jesus has done. Someone needed to make a sacrifice. Someone needed to do something with this. Just like in my relationship with Amanda, like I needed to do something different. Otherwise, there's going to be a continued wedge between us as she has a whole night routine that's going to continue to irritate me because why can't you be like me? All right, just go to bed and not even have to talk to one another. Like, that would be all right. Like, just do your own thing, right? But something had to happen. And Jesus is the one that makes it happen. And notice that it's in his body, right? The mark in their body that drove this wedge. Now something on Jesus' body, these marks on his body, is going to do something. We see that in verse 15. He did this by ending the system of law. All right, we'll go there. He did this by ending the system of law and its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility towards each other was put to death. It died with Jesus. Verse 17, he brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. There's a new people that's being created through this person of Jesus who did what God intended to happen from the very beginning, to include all peoples into this new people. The two different groups that were created because of the Jewish people isolating themselves and the Gentiles isolating themselves from the Jewish people. I can't be a part of that. That's very different than me. That hostility is brought down, and now we're open to becoming a new people. Which, if you follow the storyline of the Bible, continues to happen over and over and over again. God continues to try to grab people to be his people. And Jesus finally makes that happen through his own sacrifice, allowing the hostility to overtake him and to kill him so that it could die there with him. And it opens up a whole new place for us. And listen to the imagery of what this looks like in verse 19. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. Now instead you are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house. Well, that's a new imagery, right? What is God's house? Let's think about this in Bible terms. Where does God live? Right? I know, okay, heaven. But what God on earth, where does God live? We look at it as a temple, right? That is where God's presence is said to be. And now we're God's house, where God's live. Let's just hold on to that for a second as we think through this. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Though the prophets were the ones in the Old Testament telling about God's real mission here and bringing people back into relationship with him. Apostles doing the same thing here in this new age. Okay, so two together. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. Jesus is the one. His life, his teaching, his sacrifice becomes that foundation block that everything else lines up on and stacks to. It's not just my way. It's not just Amanda's way, it's not just the Jewish people's way, it's not just the Gentiles' way. Jesus is where we have our foundation, and everything is built off of him. So we bring our backgrounds to this relationship with Jesus and see how we can be part of this new people through him. Verse 21, we are carefully joined together in him, in Jesus, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. There it is, right? God's house, the temple. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. So God's Spirit, his presence, would fill this place to worship, right? This temple. And now that's being recreated through Jesus. And now us as people with a variety of backgrounds come together with the focus of Jesus. Now we become the place where God's Spirit dwells. You see how it's happening here? That people gathered in Jesus actually become the dwelling place for God's very Spirit. We become a whole new people together. Now, how does that happen, right? What does that look like? What is the real thing? I mean, if before the Jewish people saw that on their bodies and the way they did their life with the religious laws and all that stuff was their marker for inclusion into God's family that you would be identified with, well, what is it now? Because it says that it's been all taken away. That's not the way to go about it. That's not the marker of being part of God's family anymore. So what is the marker? How can we tell if someone is part of God's family or not? And actually, Paul said this earlier. I left it out for now because I wanted to make it a stronger point. Actually, in verse 8, if we go back up to Ephesians 2, verse 8, he says, God saved you, he's talking to the people here, by his grace, his gift, something that he gave us, Jesus, his son, when you believed. When you believed. Belief now becomes that marker that we're included into God's family. This trust that we have that Jesus really is the foundation to our whole life, and not just mine as an individual, but us as a group and those outside of these walls that have yet to even experience that because they've been felt far away from God, that they've been excluded from the family of God, that they feel separated from him, and we have an obligation to say, no, you're included into this, and it's all about Jesus and the foundation of our lives to trust that the way he says we are to live is God's family. It's unique. We're being brought into that. And here's the beautiful thing that happens when we start focusing on our belief in Jesus as the foundation for our whole system of life. Our whole belief system is founded on Jesus. The beautiful thing that happens is we become a new people. Or as Paul describes it here, it's a work of art. It's a masterpiece. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew, right? We're a new people. We've created anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. They haven't been being done because we've had this hostility and separation. Now we can do them as all people gather together, being this new people, having individuality, and yet a new group is created. We become a new family. Let me kind of show you what this looks like, okay, in visual form. Here's a painting. Here's a painting, or part of a painting anyway. And you can see, like, there's this orange or red dot right in the middle. And then you kind of have this blue around it, right? It's kind of shows to me like there's just these two different groups of people. And even if there's a little bit of variety in those other groups on the outside of the circle, you can see like that circle, that dot, like that's like the Jewish people, right? And there's really no blending there at all, right? They're just cut off from everything. I think the church can become like that, right? Just this is the way it is, and there's no actually expansion of things or any way for us to become more full. But if you zoom out and see the full masterpiece, Now all of a sudden you can see how important that dot is. It's the sun. In fact, this is a painting from Claude Monet in 1872, if anybody cared. And it's called The Sunrise, and it was this first painting that kind of gave way to this whole movement of impressionism art, right? Where you see these brush strokes and all of that. And I love this because it leaves I can have more imagination. But look at what that dot does now. It's the sun rising above this harbor. And it's giving light to all of the things that are there. I mean, it's reflecting off of the water. Now you can see other things that are going on that when you see the fuller image of this, we become this masterpiece. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about here. Instead of isolating, that if we have our belief in Jesus, it expands it out to be a greater work of art. There's more people that can be included into this family of God. That's the way God intended it from the beginning. And we get to offer them a way in that by this belief in Jesus. And that's the foundation of this whole thing. Like, let's not lose sight of that, because we could get off the rails really easy. It's all about our foundation and believing in Jesus. Not some marker on our body or anything like that, but the marker is now trust in Jesus' life and building our life off of him and through him by God's Spirit being here with us and creating us anew. That's the thing to remember. That's the thing that we need to remember, that it's Jesus' sacrifice. As we look towards communion, it's a remembering that it's about what Jesus did, not about what you did or what I did or my background or your background or my way of living life or your way of living life, but it's about Jesus and his way of making a new covenant, a new partnership to include people that have felt far away, separated, distant from God, and without hope that they could be a part of a family, God's family. And if we look at the body of Jesus, it's his body that he gave to us willingly. It's a gift, like it said in Ephesians 2:8, right? It's God's grace, God's gift given to us. And his blood is the mark of that covenant, that there's a new agreement, a new partnership that's been made between God and his people, all those that trust and believe in Jesus' life and death and resurrection. So I invite you to reflect on that as you participate in communion, that you can come forward and take the cracker and take the juice and go to the back to your seats and take it when you're ready. But what you're focusing in on is maybe the fact that you still feel separated from God, that you still feel a distance. Your belief in Jesus brings you near. You are a part of this new family. You are included in this new kingdom and citizens of heaven, God's family. Or you could also be thinking about, who do you know outside of this place that feels separated from God, that they feel far away? Let them know that through Jesus, they have been brought near. They can be a part of a family. That's a new group of people. We become new people together. So I invite you to take some time to reflect on that now and to then come and take communion when you're ready and bring it to your seat and reflect on either feeling, being close to God, right? Joined by him because of Jesus' sacrifice, or praying for those people that are far away, that you would love for them to come near and know who Jesus is. Let me pray as you get ready. Heavenly Father, thank you for including us into your plan and your purposes through Jesus Christ, that your Spirit would live in us and among us, shaping us into your people, that we could spread that message out to those that feel far away, that are distanced from you, maybe don't even know you, that we could share the message about Jesus and his gift of his life for each and every one of us, that they can be a part of your people and become a new people together. Jesus, in your name we pray.